good afternoon. This is A Progressive Life. I'm Glenn Coble, your moderator. And I hope you're having a good day so far. I think I just heard some rumbling outside. Is that true? Maybe somebody's just moving furniture. I don't know. But anyway, I hope things are going well with you so far. Scott and I had a great on-the-air show just before this. We had a good time. I got to eat lunch. I had three little bratwursts, and they were all good. I guess I picked the one boiled in wine first, and then I liked the one boiled in beer, and then I liked the one boiled in water, and none of them were bad. They were all very good, very, very good. Anyway, I'm going to have to explain that to my wife, why I'm going to come home and blow an 001 on the breathalyzer. Well, anyway, what is today? Today is the 23rd, is it? Or is it the 24th? I broke my watch. I was walking up to my front door, and apparently my watch band fell off. So I don't know what time it is, and I don't know what day it is. So I'm going to assume that the date is the 23rd, Tuesday. No, it's the 24th, isn't it? Yes, it is. I'm sleeping in, I guess. My puppy dog didn't wake me up. Anyway, we had an interesting discussion, my dog and I, last night. Well, it was two nights ago. What was I going to talk about on the next 2 days of shows? And I do Progressive Life now. Prior to this, we had 2 hours of On the Air. Tomorrow morning, we will have On the Air, but we're going to have it with James Anderson, who's our naturalist. And that my puppy and I decided I better come up with some good questions for naturalists. So I've got a load full of questions for a naturalist. Now, I'm not going to bug him with him. I'm going to let him talk, and then if we have a lull, I'll have a question for him. How's that sound? And then after that, swap shop will come on. We haven't been swapping very much, but usually I do a little something on swap shop with trivia. And I have 250 questions of trivia that are fantastic. Well, now, we're not going to do them all, but they are fantastic. And I was really lucky to find this site. And I'm not going to tell you where it is or anything, but it's general knowledge trivia. So it'll give you all a chance to, we'll have you call in if you want, and not call in if you don't want. That's the way we work our show. But today, I thought I'd go over some of the happenings that happened this week. Be a little less in your face about being progressive. However, I did come across an article by Co Bragg, was his name, and it talked about the Juneteenth celebration. I'm going to admit to you, I had no idea. 74 years old, and I had never heard of Juneteenth before this year. I have a lot of shortcomings. Some of them are that I'm not as well educated as I'd like to be. I only spent 9 years in college to get a bachelor's degree, by the way. I didn't get advanced. I did have a little bit of advanced in my master's, but I never made it. I was not driven enough. But anyway, did you know that Juneteenth was the oldest known celebration honoring the end of slavery? And what happened? Well, on June 19th, 1865, a general, Gordon Granger, he was a Union general, he led thousands of federal troops to Galveston, Texas, to announce that the Civil War had ended. They didn't know it. They were still fighting the war. And it had been ended for quite a while. And so he ended up, they went to Galveston, Texas, to announce the end of the war, and that the slaves had been freed. And they obviously didn't know that they had been freed. Approximately 1/4 of a million Texan slaves had no idea that they were free. So that happened. He went there June 19th, 1865. There are quite a few exceptions that people bring up about the freeing of the slaves. They recall that Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, that was what announced it. But it was done long before the end of the Civil War. So it was done before the slaves had been freed. And it was actually the country was in the midst of the Civil War at the time that he gave that. Much of the language of the Emancipation Proclamation suggests the slaves were going to be freed at that moment, but they were not. It lasted longer out in Texas because, you know, they didn't have the internet. They didn't even have phones that went out there very much. I imagine there were a few phones up, but not enough to get the word out there. The way they got the word was from writers bringing newspapers and stuff like that. And so, therefore, on the June 19th, 1865, that's when Gordon Granger announced that the Texas slaves were free. Actually, Lincoln, the Union Army was supposedly, the motivation for having the Civil War was not necessarily slavery. The reason why Lincoln wanted to have, didn't want the Civil War, but the reason why he proclaimed that there was a reason to fight with the southern states is he wanted to maintain the Union. The problems were that the southern states were agricultural and the northern states tended to be more industrial. They had different motivations to being in existence, and the agricultural states really felt they needed the slave labor to get the cotton planted and picked and stuff like that. Nixon's intent was to keep the Union united as opposed to doing away with slavery. However, after a while, it became obvious that the the slavery problem was something that was going to stick. Because many of those slaves who were in the South found that an opportunity when the Union soldiers would go through the area, found that as an opportunity to run away from slavery. And why wouldn't you if you could? A former slave gave testimony about Juneteenth as part of a New Deal project, and he recalled the end of the Civil War had just come. It was like a snap of your fingers. Hallelujah broke out. That's what he said. Freedom didn't come, though, with that snap of the fingers. It took quite a while to get down to Texas. A former group of slaves pooled $800 together through local churches and to purchase 10 acres of land and create Emancipation Park to host future Juneteenth celebrations in modern-day Houston. And that was back in 1870, so it was important to the very important to the African-American community. In 1980, Emancipation Day in Texas became a legal holiday day, and it was recognized as Juneteenth. They continued to celebrate Juneteenth 151 years later throughout the nation. A lot of places have cookouts and parades and stuff like that. But as you know, many people didn't know there was such a a holiday, and much to our chagrin, many white people did not celebrate it, did not know about it. It was more of kept in keeping with many African American groups, obviously because of the significance of the end of slavery to that group of people. Anyway, some of the things that have happened this week. Bubba Wallace. How about this? Bubba Wallace. They found a noose in his work area. Bubba Wallace is a NASCAR driver and the only African-American. One of his parents is white and the other is African-American. And a very good-looking young man. And they found a noose in his work area. Now, there have been all sorts of rumors and stuff said about it since the fact that they found the noose. I've heard everything from it was a joke, not intended to be mean. It was a rope that was used to open one of the garage doors. Another rumor was it had been there for years and years. So we're really not sure what's going on with it. But NASCAR has made some interesting alterations because of that. And one of the alterations is it's no longer allowed to fly the Union Jack or the Dixie flag, or you know, the stars and bars at a NASCAR event. Now, you know darn well, though, there will be people that will do it in defiance, and I can't imagine how they're going to stop it, but maybe they'll have the ushers go and ask and take away the flags or something. I have no idea. But because NASCAR has been pretty predominantly Southern culture style, I used to be a big NASCAR fan. I loved Jeff Gordon. And when Jeff Gordon decided to step out of the arena, I kind of lost interest in it. I may find interest again and start rooting for Bubba Wallace. I'm not sure how good he is. I haven't followed the sport for a while. But I may jump back in. Also, during the past week, six African Americans have been found hanging in trees, mainly out on the West Coast area. The saying right now is all of them were suicide, but there are a lot of people that question that. I'm sure we'll hear more about that as time goes along. And people who are progressives are people that want to do away with that type of hatred. And that's kind of what this show is about. There is no room, no need, no advantage to disliking anyone, no matter what their color or what their religion or what their nationality is. So therefore, those of us who claim to be progressive, it isn't a dirty word. It's just we want to move forward. We want to, rather than stay in the past where we blame other people for doing this and doing that, let's move forward and find reasons to love each other, care about each other. That was kind of an interesting discussion that Scott and I had in the previous 2 hours, is what is love? And again, we brought up the fact that we don't have enough terms for the word love. Anyway, I keep hearing noises outside. I think they must be cars, not thunder. It was too sunny out there when I last looked. Another bad thing, another horrible thing that happened during the week was Rashard Brooks being shot in his back at a Wendy's. He was in line, apparently, and fell asleep in his car. He had had a little bit to drink. He was not drunk. He blew only slightly above the maximum minimum. And I don't know if you watched the video of it. I could only watch once. He treated the police with respect and vice versa, quite frankly. The question is, what happened in the final 2 or 3 minutes there? They had been talking for over 20 minutes, respectfully. And all of a sudden, it seemed like out of nowhere, he decided to bolt. And the only thing that I can guess is somebody said something, or like the narrative that I read you last week from a black man who had been pulled over the police. Maybe he just didn't trust that the police were going to put him in the squad car and give him justice. They were going to beat him up. I don't know. But anyway, as he ran away, he happened to have grabbed one of the police officer's stun gun, which, by the way, had been fired 2 or 3 times and was out of juice. And he turned around and pointed it, but it obviously didn't hurt anybody because there was no juice in it. That called for one of the officers to pull his weapon and fire 2 or 3 times into Mr. Brooks' back, which eventually killed him there on the spot. Anyway, we continue to treat our fellow Americans as if some of them are important and some are not important. Thus, the term Black Lives Matter, not White Lives Matter, not All Lives Matter, but Black Lives Matter, because we've not cared enough about our black brethren who are just as worthy as you and I are. I happen to be white. I do, by the way, have 4 black nephews and nieces, I think it is. Let's see. Another thing that happened this week I'm going to talk about. I'm just basically going over the headlines of the week as opposed to getting too deeply involved in my opinions on all these things. You have your own opinions. If you'd like to call in, you're welcome to. The number is 740-383-9944. Coronavirus has started to spike again. No doubts in my mind that it has to do with us, the United States, or several of the political groups opening up their states. And I don't know why, but it seems like the more conservative the state, the more they want to open up. It's almost like saying, we're going to show you. They'll open up in spite of knowing that the coronavirus is going to spike again, and it has started. It's spiking for lots of different reasons. Number one, or at least one of them, is that we've had so many protests in the last 2 weeks after George Floyd was killed by a police officer strangling him to death, basically by putting his knee on his neck. In the last 2 weeks, we've had dozens of protests with shoulder-to-shoulder people, and in some cases not wearing masks. Here in Marion, we've had 3, I believe, 2 downtown at the City Hall and 1 out at the Memorial. The 2 I went to were downtown at the City Hall and pretty much attended by 200 or 300 people, most of which had masks on, most of which stayed away from other people, showed concern for other people's health. So we've done a pretty good job. However, in Columbus, the opposite has happened. We've had some pretty rough treatment by a lot of the police, or supposed treatment by the police in Columbus. As a matter of fact, it's gotten bad enough that there have been people that have been hired to be observers to watch for civil rights violations. They wear green caps or a green shirt to identify themselves as observers. And they're watching for any civil rights violations, police doing bad stuff to African Americans, or anybody for that match. And also, I'm sure they're watching for conflict between the right and left factions that tend to be drawn out of the woodwork because of these. I forgot to mention, by the way, that Mr. Trump did kind of claim credit for popularizing Juneteenth when I was talking about it. I think he didn't know what it was and just happened to popularize it because people kind of made fun of him because he didn't know what it was. But anyway, I'm not sure that's the most positive thing that that progressive people can do. As a matter of fact, progressive people, as far as I'm concerned, most progressive people let sleeping dogs lie and just try to progress rather than blame. So I think that's an important thing. Now, I do. I watch Facebook. I watch Twitter. I do know that there are a lot of people on my side of the aisle or my side of the ideological bent that are just as bad as those on the other side, calling names and stuff. And stop it. Let's be civil to each other. The one thing that always bothers me, and being an agnostic or an atheist, some people call me, being that way, I find it, and I've been pretty well schooled in religion because my dad was a minister, I find it difficult that these people will act and treat other people at the same time calling themselves Christians. I think if you truly would want to be Christian about your relationships with other people, you might think about turning the other cheek. You might think about the Good Samaritan proverb. You might think about being a kind person and empathetic, which is in very short supply right now. And I might say on both sides of the aisle again, there are people that are unempathetic. Anyway, my phone just dinged at me because somebody wanted to mention something to me. Mentioned that the Ohio virus numbers are up. That's not totally unexplainable. We've had several demonstrations in the state of Ohio where people are way too close together, and some people are not wearing masks. Very few people wear gloves, and I did wear a mask during the two here in Marion, and I did socially distance myself from other people. I am of the very dangerous group of people over 70, and also overweight, and I do have I have had a heart problem in years gone by, and so therefore I am a little bit over careful about it. But I don't want to leave my family yet, and I think you ought to think about that when you go out. You know, you might be thinking that you're a brave SOB, excuse the expression. You're brave because you aren't afraid and you're going to go out and not wear a mask. The mask is not nearly as much for you as it is for the people around you. My wife and I went down to visit for the first time, my son in Worthington, and I have three grandchildren down there. And quite frankly, we stayed as distant as we could. We all wore masks unless we were quite a ways away from each other. And all of our activities were outside. We went for a long walk along the Olentangy River, which was great fun. I broke my belt, so that's how I knew that I was gaining weight. And anyway... And now my doctor told me yesterday that I could lose 10 or 15 pounds. I could lose 50 pounds and I'd be a lot better off. But even with our own family, we practice the social distancing. Now, it doesn't hurt that both my son and daughter-in-law are very educated people. both of them, my son works at a university, and my daughter happens to be a nurse. So she knows a lot about what's going on. And so we talked a lot about it. And I really don't understand why people think they're being brave by not wearing a mask. I know there's kind of a culture right now. The Republican Party seems to think that if you wear a mask, you're saying you are anti-Trump. Well, I don't care whether you're anti-Trump or pro-Trump. If you're not wearing a mask, you're anti, you're the people you're dealing with, because the people you're talking to, you're spraying what could be COVID-19 infected droplets on them. So think about it. I'm not going to think more or less. Well, I'm not going to think more of you. I'm not going to think less of you if you're wearing a mask. I will probably think less of you if you're not wearing a mask. I will think you're kind of selfish. And I think that's exactly what it is. It has nothing to do with, oh, look at me, I'm wearing a mask, I must be a Democrat. Or, oh, look at me, I'm not wearing a mask, I must be a Republican. That's not the story right now. So be smart, wise up, and quit being so selfish and ignorant. That's all I can say about that. It just seems crazy that people don't care about other people. Now, I'm certain that if you go home because you haven't been wearing a mask and you went to a rally of some sort and you were shoulder to shoulder with people, and all of a sudden your mother or father die of COVID because they got it from you who were symptomatic and not symptomatic, the other side of it, you're going to change your opinion, and it's not going to be a good change. Your heart's going to be broken, and they're going to be gone. So just be smart, please. It's not that bad a thing. It's like some young men like to wear their pants down around the middle of their butt. That doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means they're stupid. Oh, or it means they don't care that it feels like their pants are falling off. I used to get a little angry at seeing that, and then I started realizing, why in the world am I angry? They're the ones that have to hold them up with their hands. They're the ones that have to feel that horrible feeling, oops, my pants are going to fall down around my ankle. You look a little silly, but I'm not going to hate you for it. All right. Another thing that's happened this week that has caused, I think, maybe a little softening of the Republican Senate towards their fearless leader. And that would be Mr. Trump's polls are dropping pretty significantly at this point. Now, it doesn't mean they won't go back up, and they may very well go back up. But right now they're dropping, and therefore the sinking ship holds no rats, right? They all jump off. I'm not calling them rats. There are some, I know some very good people that believe the Republican platform. But I think right now we're not really thinking. We're just acting. Because we don't like the other side. They've been mean to me, or they've said bad things about my favorite person, or stuff like that. Okay, let's get over that. And I'm one that needs to get over it as well. I've not been the kindest person on Facebook. I try not to get too... I try not to say a lot about it. I may give a smiley face to something that I think a person has said that's accusatory. So anyway, I need to get better at it as well. Now, this week, and this is kind of where all of this stems from. It stems from the top. This week, Trump accused Obama of being treasonous. of all the presidents I can think of, he would be the least treasonous of all. Now, I must admit, I worked for Obama's campaign both times when he was elected, and I've always cared a great deal about President Obama and thought he was a very intelligent gentleman who spoke extremely well. I think he speaks as well of as any president I've ever heard, and I've heard a lot of presidents from Truman on up. I think Obama probably speaks as well, if not better, than all of them. I know that one of the things that's really gotten fires burning on the political scene now is the fact that Mr. Trump's rally in Tulsa was very poorly attended. Now, I know that people that helped put that rally on blame a lot of left-wing young people for claiming they wanted tickets, and supposedly there were a million requests for tickets. And if that's the case, and only a third of the arena was filled up, so the arena, I'm doing very poorly. Let's say there were 8,000, 9,000 people there. It was embarrassing to Mr. Trump on the fact that there was such low attendance. Now, having been in promotion for years and years and years, he shouldn't be embarrassed. Things like that happen. I think I've told on the air one time I had a promotion where we were promoting an animal show. We had a young lady come and speak. She's still in business. She came and speak on how you take care of a dog, how you train dogs, stuff like that. We had a dog. It was supposed to be a dog show. It turned out to be just an animal show where people brought their animals and we graded them on who's the best looking, that sort of thing. We only had two show up. One was a bunny and the other was a goat. And one was one of our employees' bunny. So promotions happen. And this was advertised on radio and quite a bit on radio. And just wasn't the right time. It also didn't help that there was a little bit of sprinkles in the air and it was an outdoor event, but it wasn't terrible. But the turnout was absolutely embarrassing. It was the most embarrassing turnout I have ever had as a promotion guy. And I've had others that I thought nothing would happen. I did a piece with one of our football players down at OU that I thought, well, I took a full-page ad out, and he talked about thanking the people for coming to the games. It was the worst football team I have ever been involved with. But Jason, who was the captain of the team, did this really nice article that we paid money to have a full page ad. And we were packed. We had more people than we could fit in the stadium. And I really thought it was only a mildly good promotion, and it just went off phenomenally. So you never know. As a promotion person, if you happen to be a Trump fan, or if you happen to be, you know, a Republican who really wanted that rally to go off, don't blame Mr. Trump. Don't blame even his promotion people on it. The only way that you can guarantee that you're going to fill the house is if you pay everybody money to fill the seats. That's the only way you can guarantee it. And then you got to overstuff the house. You got to pay 20% more people than are actually going to be there. So anyway, I wouldn't hold that too much up in the air to either brag about or to feel bad about. That was just one of those problems with public relations and promotion. One of the questions that we're having right now is trying to decide what we're going to do in the state of Ohio about reckoning with whether we're going to go back to raising the deciding whether we're going to allow or require businesses close back down because our viruses are starting to slip up a little bit too. Now it's even worse out in the West, in the Southwest. Like I believe Arizona, their numbers are going through the ceiling, going back up, and so. Nobody, and another problem, pride gets into this again, too. Nobody who's on the side that wants to open everything up wants to close it back down because it's saying, well, we were wrong. Don't do that. Worry about the people rather than your pride or whether you're right or wrong. Worry about the United States of American people. That's where we should go. Whether you're right or wrong makes little difference unless the American people pay dearly for it. So just ease off a little bit. Think about what's best for your brothers and sisters who live on either side of you or your brothers and sisters who live in the next state over. Are they dying because of your pride? That is not good. Try to think forward. What can we do to make January of 2021 a better place to be an American? It's going to take a while. There's just nothing about it that says any different. And it doesn't make a bit of difference whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. COVID doesn't care. So think about that. Let's see. I'm trying to see if we have anything else. You know what? Let's get a little bit less heavy here. Let's go into a little bit of political trivia. And you can call in if you'd like to. If you'd like to call in the answers, I'll give you a few questions. I'll tell you which ones I'm going to wait on a little bit. And we'll do a few questions that you can call in. And the number is 740-383-9944. But I'll tell you which ones I'm going to hold on. Some of them I'll just give you the answer right off the bat. This first one I'm going to hold on. Let's see if you can figure out how many people serve in the American Congress, in the United States Congress. How many people serve in Congress? Okay, I'll give you a couple of minutes here. Now let's go on with some of that I'm not going to wait on. Who was the first president to travel abroad while in office? Now this one, you have to go back a ways. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, but Teddy Roosevelt was the very first president to travel abroad while in office. Now, he was one of those, he was very involved in nature studies. So tomorrow when we have James Anderson on, he will know all about Teddy Roosevelt, or at least he'll know the same stuff that Teddy Roosevelt knew. We're waiting on how many people serve in Congress, okay? If you've got the answer to that, you're welcome to call in. If not, I'll give you the answer in a couple of minutes. We the People is the opening of which of our founding documents? We the People. Do you remember that? Now, if you had civics when you were a kid, which I did, you probably know the answer to this. I'll give you the answer here. The answer is the Constitution. We the people. That's how it starts. And it talks about you and me and our brothers and sisters. Anyway, that's the beginning of the Constitution. Okay. The United States I'm trying to figure out how to say this. It has three different branches. One is legislative, one is judicial, and one is executive. And if you were in that civics class, what did they call that? What was the theory? What did they call it when they put that together, our founding fathers? Okay, well, I'm going to go back and give you the answer on how many people serve in Congress. Now, there's 100 people in the Senate and 435 people in the House. So that makes 535 people serve in Congress. Now, I will guarantee you that there are many, many more people that serve in Congress. There are thousands because they have, each one of them has their own staffs, and they have, you know, all sorts of staff members. They have advisors and all sorts. But the actual people that were elected to be in Congress, 535. Now we are asking what the name of the civics name for having a legislative branch, a judicial branch, and an executive branch. And the answer to that is the separation of powers. We're having an awful lot of discussions about separations of powers right now. And it seems that those separations are being blurred quite a bit. I think this November will be a referendum on how much separations of power we have or need to have. Right now, we are getting dangerously close, I believe, to having the executive branch having more power than any of the other two. All right, let's go on. Now, this one is kind of tricky. How many years did FDR, how many years was he president? I'm going to give you a couple minutes if you want to answer that one. How many years was FDR president of the United States? All right, here's one. This one's about France. These questions of politics are all over the place. What is the official residence of the president of France? Now, I've been there. I've also walked on the boulevard that has the name. All right. Elysee Palace. E-L-Y-S-E-E Palace. That's the name of the place where the president of France lives. Pretty nice place. All right. Here's another one that I'm going to go through quickly. Who set out the political ideas in Mein Kampf? Well, that's probably everybody and his brother knows the answer to that. Adolf Hitler. And that was what he established his government on in the mid to late 30s. This is kind of an interesting question. And when I saw this first, I really didn't know the answer to this. I had to go back and think quite hard. Who preceded Ronald Reagan as American president? Now, I lived through this, so I should have known it, but I did not. I had forgotten. I'll get to you on that one. It may surprise some of you. Ronald Reagan was preceded by Jimmy Carter, the peanut farmer, and his brother made beer. So I always liked it. Oh, I tried that. Billy Beer, I think it was called. Wasn't very good, or at least I didn't think it was. All right, in which year? No, I'm going to pass on that. This one, that one nobody would know. I didn't know. I didn't even know there were parts to this. So I'm going to pass on this question. Which is the lower house of the British Parliament? Which is the lower house, not the big, powerful, rich people. What's the lower house called in the British Parliament? It's called the House of Commons. That's for you and me, the House of Commons. And that's in the British Parliament. Okay, let's go back. How many years was FDR president? Nobody was interested in calling in, so I'm going to give you the answer to that. You ready? 12 years. Now, I think it was April of 1945 when he passed away and turned it over. He was actually started his fourth term as President of the United States. And since then, we no longer allow that. We have the 22nd Amendment. I'm not sure which amendment, but now we have term limits on presidents. You can only serve 2 terms as President of the United States. He served, well, he started his 4th. So he had 12 years as President of the United States. All right, let's continue on. This one is an interesting question. I don't know why you would know this, but who do you think was Vice President in 1990? Now, I was around in 1990. I was even in Ohio in 1990. We moved here in 83. Dan Quayle was Vice President in 1990. I wouldn't have been able to guess that in a million years. I'm not real good, and I don't think most people are real good on their Vice President history. It's kind of tough to remember all that stuff. All right, I've got a lot of questions, political questions, that have to do with England, and I'm passing those up because we don't really care much about the English history, right? Prior to us becoming a country, we do, but anyway. This is kind of an interesting story. How did the suffragette Emily Davidson meet her death in 1913. Kind of a sad story. She threw herself under the king's horse in the Derby. Yikes. That has to be a bad way to go. I can't imagine. There are a lot of ways of doing away with yourself that just don't seem very good to me. All right, here's one that many of you people will remember that are older because it was such a horrendous time for this country. What country was Pol Pot the leader? And he was the leader of the Khmer Rouge, if you recall. This will be my last question. We're just about out of time. Cambodia. Well, I hope you enjoyed today, all day, from on the air with Scott and myself for the first 2 hours, and then a progressive view the last hour. And we're going to be tomorrow with
you're listening
with
to
James Anderson.
GH Radio.
Bye-bye.
107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For legendary